Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm your host, MG. And alongside me, to my left, your right, is the new co-host of Experience Points, Red Bear, Michael Courtney, the Red Bear. Pretty much anything that's not MG is Red Bear. So, Red Bear, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
That's him saying hello. Please tell me a little bit about yourself. I've never met you before, by the way.
Well, like you said, my name is Chase. I go by Red Bear. And from Holden, grew up with Matt, actually. He's a liar.
Why do they call you Red Bear?
Well, it's a funny story. It started, I have a nice, glorious red beard.
It's like a Riker beard,
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, basically. It's Riker 5. There's a scale for this.
Is Riker 5? Wow.
Yeah, it's a Riker 5 beard.
I just learned something.
Yeah.
I'm not geeky enough.
No, you're not. Anyway, we're playing some Vigi games, and I believe it was... not Time Crisis.
What was it, like Urban Terror, I think? Or
maybe it was Urban Terror.
Some sort of like FPS.
Like, yeah, it was a first-person shooter.
Wannabe Quake.
Anyway, so I was being cool, typing in my name as Redbeard, because everyone knows how glorious my beard is. It truncated the D off the end. So
truncates mean cuts.
It means cut.
It
means
cut. For smart people, it's truncate.
So I'm sitting there running around killing people in the game, and they just see Red Bear just shot MG.
And it stuck,
and
I guess.
Stuck.
It stuck.
And actually, it stuck
that
thanks to Pal.
That was about 4 years ago. So, I think, about 4 years ago. So he's been Red Bear for 4 years. Before that, he was a few things, but... that is the story behind that. So you're new to radio, but you're not new to games. You're not new to geekdom. You're not new to the internet. Who is anymore? What are your favorites? These are a list of your favorite things. Go.
My list. Well, obviously, like video games. Play some Counter Strike, Unreal Tournament. Played a lot of Minecraft.
We've all had
Minecraft.
You play some WoW. What's your WoW history?
I no longer play WoW. I bought it at release.
Eight, 9 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, and spent way too much time. And I don't play WoW anymore.
No. Did you ever run a guild?
I did not run a guild.
You have no leadership experience.
No, I'm not a good leader.
All right.
Clearly. I can't run a WoW guild.
That's
way
fine.
Too much drama in WoW.
Well,
that's the problem.
What are your credentials?
The credentials?
Yeah, besides being ruggedly handsome in Riker 5, what are your credentials?
Pretty much that's it. You
named wow. Okay.
I have a degree. I graduated here at Southeastern or something, and I'm out there working in the medical field.
Nice. So are you like a doctor? You're like a Grey's Anatomy, like a cardiovascular surgeon?
No, those guys are crazy, and I'd never want to be one of those. But I am a computer scientist, programmer, and
you play a ton of games.
And I play a ton
of
games.
And you've got a command center.
Yeah, pretty much.
What games are... I know those were like the games you started with, but what games did you enjoy playing most recently? Like, what are your top five? Or you don't have to give me five games, but what are your top games now, currently?
Definitely Bioshock Infinite's at the top of that list.
Yeah, that's good.
I've been spending a lot of Kerbals up to space.
Have you made it to the moon?
I've missed the moon. And
you've gone into the space.
I've gone into the space. Thank you, Jedediah. We love you.
Yep. He's out there.
You've sacrificed a lot for us.
Sacrifice? He's still going. Unless you suicided him.
No. He's going off into deep space for my Kerbal Space Research projects. And like I said, recently picked up a Counter-Strike Go.
That's the new one. I have no playtime with Counter-Strike Go. I've seen YouTube videos. I've seen people saying that it's awesome. What's your take on CS:GO?
Well, on CS:GO, you got to go back to Counter-Strike 1.6 to start with.
So that's the best one in most people's opinion.
Oh yeah, clearly. And you have to have the CRT at 120 hertz. You know,
the hitbox is all right.
You know, so then they upgraded to Counter-Strike Source, which came out with Half-Life 2.
Yeah, that's right.
And a lot of people complain hitboxes were wrong, blah, blah. It's just really adapting.
They also had Steam. You think Steam had anything to do with it? Like, you had to activate everything with Steam and make it a Steam
Some people complain, but that's just people complaining.
I guess if you were playing Counter-Strike already, you already had the internet.
Yeah, I'm assuming you had the internet.
Otherwise,
you're sitting at home alone playing Counter-Strike.
You're just playing bot games.
Yeah. What was like Bot Neil?
There was like Bot Neil, Bot Jason.
Yeah,
I think one was called Bot, and I know the scariest one was the zombie mode where they all had daggers or knives.
Oh, yeah. Always do the daggers.
Yeah.
And to Counter-Strike Go, it's the latest refresh. The graphics look a little bit nicer, and they basically have changed the entire interface. It seems like Valve is on a kick about doing this and making a live market, and I haven't got too much into that, but you can purchase new weapons and apparently not really level up, but the more you play...
You can find some way of enhancing your experience.
The more you play, the more you get out of it.
So is it like... have you ever played Tribes, like the new Tribes?
Yeah.
Okay, so is it like that where you unlock things, or is it strictly... is it the same monetary-based system where the longer you play, the more kills you get... the more guns you loot, you get more money, and thus you buy more guns and you shoot.
Yeah,
more
that's more. So they have like a whole. They have a marketplace, is what it is. You can buy things there and unlock items.
Well, good. Well, good. Well, things haven't changed here on experience points. We're still here about who. I'm sorry, everyone. That's Redbeard. That's RB right there. He's going to be with us for a while. He's going to stay. We haven't changed anything on experience points. We're still all about giving you the latest and greatest in geek culture, counterculture, as well as music and rumors. And I know big rumors right now flying around about the new iPhone that's dropping, I think, September 10th. Is that right?
The announcement.
Yeah, the announcement is September 10th. They all think, everyone thinks, and correct me if you've heard wrong, everyone thinks it's going to be the iPhone 5C. Which is for the colors.
Everyone is banking on colors.
It's colors, and it's like the budget iPhone. It's like the plasticky.
Well, it's supposed to be a plastic back, is what everyone's saying.
Yeah.
Available in different colors, much like they did to the iPod.
It's like the iPhone 4 insides with I guess the color scheme and the screen of the iPhone 5. That's what I've heard. I think from MacRumors.com. And the one crazy thing was like, so you know how the Apple IIe was way back in the day, the Apple IIe.
Apple IIe.
You do. We need to bring it in and boot it up. And
I blew up the power supply.
So we need to become engineers, and we need to fix the power supply. Or if you would like to donate an Apple IIe power supply to Experience Points, please call us up at 1-800 Experience Points. Or I think it's 985-549-5758, actually. It's KSLU. Call us up. Say you want to donate a power supply to Experience Points.
Works with an Apple IIe.
Apple IIe power supply. You'll have to go on eBay. Yeah. Don't send us, like... I'll accept any power supply you send, but we're not a recycling agency. We want something that'll work. But back in the day, the Apple IIe was like this supercharged, expandable, awesome computer. And it was one of the defining pieces of hardware, right?
Yeah.
I know we both have several hours of playing Super Bunny, Family Feud.
Cabin Creatures.
Yeah, Cabin Creatures was awesome. What was the other one? It was like a Garfield comic book adventure or something.
Oh, yeah, you can make your own comics.
Yeah, and then
you print them on the dot matrix printer.
On the Apple print or Mac print or whatever it's
terrible,
called.
But it was, we loved it.
It was awesome at the time. But
you
then
could print Garfield out of your computer.
Well, it was like 2 years after that or a year after that, they released the Apple IIc. The Apple IIc was like a crapified version. It wasn't expandable. It could do everything the Apple IIe could. But the baseline, it was like you couldn't expand it anymore. Right. It was just there.
It's what you got.
And it was flat. It was like if the Apple IIe was... And is this fair? If it was a desktop, if that was a desktop, then the Apple IIc was more like a laptop.
I'll give you that. It was thinner.
It was not a laptop. No, it's not. It was about the size by today's standards. It was like the size of a big guy laptop.
Like a laptop I would carry.
It's like a desk.
It's
like a mobile desk. It had a hard surface. It still had the keys built in, and it had a drive that wasn't external. It was in the case.
Right.
So people are thinking that it was sort of a crappier version, the Apple IIc, C for crappy. The Apple IIc was a crappier version. The Apple IIe and the iPhone 5C will be a crappier version of the iPhone 5.
Yeah, that's been thrown around.
That's a pretty out there. I mean, that's a rumor. I'm just saying.
Now,
that, but
if you'll go the other way, the other rumor surrounding September 10th is that Apple has bought a fingerprint reading company.
Really? I haven't heard that.
Yes, and the rumor is they're going to integrate it into the little button that you use to do... Well, the only button? The button on the iPhone. So when you unlock
the
it,
one
it
button?
Reads your fingerprint.
Wow,
that's the rumor.
I don't think I'd ever want to actually use that. Like, if that button breaks...
Well, okay, I would...
I guess if that button breaks, you're screwed, but...
Yeah, it would have to work really well is the thing.
Yeah.
Because every fingerprint reader I've ever used, you sit there and you have to scan your finger with the thing, and it never reads it right.
I've never had, honestly, the biometric stuff and near field communication, NFC, I've never done anything with it. I've never bought a laptop with it. I know in the military they had a lot of laptops with NFC, and I'm sorry, biometric stuff in it. Facial recognition was a thing for a little bit.
Don't even try that on your Android.
It was bad.
Still is.
Yep. So you actually, Redbeard actually got a really awesome device, and I'd like you to tell us about it. It is the Nexus, right?
The new Nexus 7, still made by Asus, except having a couple months, they had a full year this time.
One Nexus really has seven Nexuses in it? Is that why it's called
Nexus
7?
No. The Nexus 7, the 7 is for the screen size. There's a Nexus 10 coming out sometime soon they're going to announce.
So it's like a direct rival with the iPad.
The iPad Mini. The iPad Mini would be more of the rival for it. It's 16:9 aspect ratio, and it actually has, well, what Apple wouldn't do or couldn't do, we're not sure, but it has a Retina Plus display in it. So the DPI is actually higher than the Retina display.
It's like 200 and what, 30?
No, so I think it's 320.
Whoa,
if
that's
I'm not mistaken.
A lot.
I might per be
inch,
wrong,
per
but
inch.
Pretty sure that's
we
right.
We will verify this after this little bit of music. We're actually going to go to a track real quick. So something a lot of people know, a lot of his friends know, I personally know, is that what is like your favorite sci-fi show ever?
Favorite sci-fi show?
Your
is
favorite
it,
sci-fi
possibly
show?
Possibly Star Trek.
It is Star Trek.
Star
but which,
Trek.
But which one?
Oh, The Next Generation,
so
of course.
So is there a better Star Trek?
There is not a better Star
Even
Trek.
Even Americanized Star Trek, what? Enterprise?
Enterprise. No. Let's go to song.
Okay. So we're going to cut to song. This is actually the Picard song. Anyone that knows what this song's about knows what this song's about. If you don't, you will soon. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points. We're going to come back after this. This is the Picard song.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Make it so.
Welcome back to Experience Points. I'm Red Bear, and sitting next to me is
MG. This is KSLU 90.9 FM. We were a little mistaken on
well,
the specs.
But the thing is, I really like my Nexus
There's
7.
There's a lot of love.
There's a lot of love there.
I'm not going to lie. He's been showing it off, and this looks like the hopes and dreams, the what is it, the heaven and the stars? Is that the Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Appropriateness?
Yes. The moon and stars.
The moon and stars, yeah. So that's, I'm probably going to get one of these. I'm not going to lie. I haven't told him yet. I just did. I'm probably going to get one of these. So,
you should.
Yeah, it looks
well,
really
the
great.
Thing that I lied about because I love it so much is I see more dots per inch when I love something. It's a thing I do. So it actually has...
That's a mental condition. You have a mental condition? Is that what
condition.
You're saying?
I see things better when I love them.
Oh, okay.
More
right.
clearly. And it actually, the Nexus 7 has 216... DPI.
Yeah, PPI. Pixels per inch.
Well, yeah. And then it was
more
the Nexus
dots, more
10
dots, more
that
dots.
Had the 300. So.
And but, I mean, there's only like a $200 or $150 difference in the 7 to 10 model. Obviously, the 10 is more, but...
It's a bigger screen. They have to build it.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, but, I mean, that's not a bad jump.
No,
I mean,
no, not really.
You know, you look at the... Well, I guess it's the same for the iPad Mini to the iPad. Like, one's 450,
right,
one's
right.
600 or 700. So, but I'm probably going to get one. I've been looking at jumping off of the Apple bandwagon for a little bit. Despite having tons of Apple products, I think it's time for the change. But I'll let you know how that goes. And he's gonna do a full review, probably either in blog form or in audio form. I it's like he's sitting right next to me. I'm telling him what he's gonna do. You're gonna go to the sweatshops. You're gonna make a full review.
This is what happens to me when I volunteer for things.
So the you did volunteer for this.
I did.
So all
Man,
of this.
I
like
get
a,
all the work.
It's like
guess.
A whipping boy now.
Oh no. Oh god.
So the that's a book reference. You remember what books
yeah.
are? You could read them on tablets.
Yeah. Well, in fact, you can read on your Nexus 7.
On a Nexus 7.
That's great.
So we have a big discussion. I personally, I've ranted on this in blog form on my blog before, and we're gonna take it to the mic. So you know that there's like saving in games, right?
You can save your game.
You can save your game. It used to be really hard.
Yeah.
Like, remember, you had a Nintendo.
Yes,
so you
I
remember before you didn't care about saving, like the Atari. You didn't have to save, really. Like, what would you save?
Save your Pong game?
Yeah, I mean,
like... keep your score, I guess?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that was important, but we didn't have to.
When you didn't have friends.
When you had no friends,
had no
you
friends.
Were always AAA on the high score list. So, but it used to be really hard. Like, in Mega Man... And in Mega Man 2, and in what was the other game that had like codes? Oh, Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah,
I mean that was like one of the big games. You memorized the Mike Tyson's code, the 007 code,
and you couldn't just look him up on the internet either.
No, because the internet wasn't there yet. So you like got napkins, you got these little notebooks, and you wrote down. And it got hard whenever like in Mega Man, it didn't have numbers before Mega Man X. It had like symbols, like Quick
yes.
Man head, and then like guy with a miner hat, and then you had to like draw these things and. I remember I had like a disposable camera, and I took pictures.
A Polaroid?
No. I wasn't that high tech.
Oh,
it was.
Wow.
It was like a one of the ones that came.
So you had to like mail it in to get them developed.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's the thing people don't know about.
It was a really old school disposable like Polaroid. It was a Polaroid camera, but it was a
Kodak.
Well,
it wasn't Polaroid. It was a Kodak then. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a Kodak.
You would put it in a little bag and mail it, and you'd
yeah,
wait patiently
yeah. and
for a week.
I messed it up because I didn't do it right, and when I got the things back, it was like just red and black and white splotches all over my
Again,
thumb.
After you've already waited a week or two.
Anyway, cameras are great now.
They are wonderful.
No, so...
My Nexus 7 has a camera.
The Nexus 7 does. Again, we're not affiliated with Google.
No, not in the least. I, in fact, have a Motorola Razr phone, so...
Wow, that's
not even the new one.
Speaking of blasts from the past, yeah. The Motorola Razr. But saving used to be hard. And then, Link to the Past, Zelda came out. It had onboard saving. You could save it. Final Fantasy, you had onboard saving. You could save. You don't have to worry about keys. And then we upgrade today, and now we have, like, you know, Skyrim and Kerbal Space Program and all of these games that have autosave features. And, I mean, you know, there's a ton of save features out there.
So we're on saving.
How do you feel about quick save, quick load?
Quick save, quick load?
Because I
get any point in the game?
I mean, yeah, just being able to... Well, okay, so I don't know about you, but I've seen those people that get a Super Nintendo emulator, and they try to speed run it. So they quick save at every 3 seconds, they quick save. That's like an automatic quick save. And I'm thinking, like, for Skyrim, I don't think quick save should be in Skyrim, because it saves every time you enter or exit a building. Every time you do something, it saves. Right?
Right. Okay, now I do have 2 points on this. Quick saving, I'm going to say it takes a lot away. It takes the challenge and the frustration.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a lot less broken controllers now. But
I didn't even think about that.
I went through so many Super Nintendo controllers, but that's beside the point. Saving Borderlands 2.
Yep.
Problem with that is you can only save when you quit. It takes you back to the beginning of every zone, hence why I haven't finished Borderlands 2 yet, because every time I load it up, I may be like a minute away from fighting the boss, but I have to go to sleep or leave. And so I close it down and come back, and I'm all the way back to the beginning of the zone.
Now, we have ignored one way of saving your game before they allowed you to save. You just don't turn the console off.
That is a thing.
That's how I think a lot of us played games back in the day. We just never turned off
our console.
Of course,
and you'd have like your niece or sister come in and just bloop.
Or kick it. She accidentally kicks it.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, so you've never beaten Borderlands 2. That's sad.
No,
but
I haven't. So
but I understand why. So you would think that a quick save, quick load would be, that'd be important to you in that game.
Very important. Hence, I keep starting over at the beginning of every zone.
Okay, but what about in a game like Skyrim or the Fallouts? Or
well, and I see where you're going with that, because, well, like in Fallout, that's a great example, because one thing I'll do is I'll sit there and go like speech 10% to succeed, and so you're not going to get it, but if you quick save right before it, you can just keep reloading it until you get whatever the selection
was. So it should only take about 10 times, give or take, for you to maybe get it statistically.
Yeah. And it's really easy to just
if my math is right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
But like in Kerbal Space Program, it saves every time you do something. But right. Then the quick save, quick load is incredibly useful for, like, you're going to dock up to, you know, Clamptron, senior, Dockatron, whatever,
Dockatron.
Seniors. You're gonna you know, do something crazy that you
like
know
try
is...
try to launch my
like
rocket.
Like, try to launch your rocket. So a quick
Step
save...
one.
A quick save before that. I'm so sorry you're having so much problems with this game.
No. Well, the thing is, remember your sequencing. That's very important. Don't decouple the rockets before you launch them.
You hit a button and your thing just falls apart.
Yeah, and then rockets go everywhere, and somehow Jebediah survives. So we're very happy about him.
All I'm saying about quick saving and quick loading, we'll get through it. All I'm saying is that I think if you're going to have it automatically save every time you enter and exit a zone, then you shouldn't allow them to have quick save. You shouldn't allow it to happen because, oh, there's a dragon. Well, I'm not really equipped, but let's go ahead and try it. Quick save. F5. And then you're going to go in and you're going to fight this thing and you're going to die. And you're like, well, I found the soft spot. Let's quick load. Let's go back and do it again. I feel like that's... Like, you don't have to worry about dying because you're only less than a minute away.
It's a video game. You're not actually going to die.
Well, no, I know that. But I mean, like,
I get what you're saying. I don't know, though. I kind of disagree because of my experience in Borderlands.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's up to the end user. If you want to have that experience where you just cheap out and load and save the entire time, then you can do that. But you're not going to have as good of a gaming experience to know it's something in achieving something.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it. Like, if Minecraft allowed quick saving, quick loading, does it?
Well, okay. Minecraft, if you just start spawning bricks, you know it's not nearly as satisfying as spending 2 hours sitting there hammering away at a freaking tree.
Right, but what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to build a boat, or do you want to, you know, do you want to actually play the game, like get the stuff, or do you want to build something? Is it creative or is it survival? You know, there's a whole other argument there. But no, I get what you're saying.
I don't think Minecraft really has quick saving. It's multiplayer, so.
Well, it is now, but
yeah.
I guess
so. It's that one guy who had the Atari that just played Pong by himself. He's now playing Minecraft by himself.
Yeah,
that's what's happening.
That's my view on quick save, quick load. That's all I mean. We are going to go ahead and cut to another song, And this is actually something sort of new. So Kickstarter is great. I think we can both agree that Kickstarter can be awesome. It can also be...
Double Fine gets me my game.
Yeah, Double Fine's supposed to... They're supposed to be releasing something at some point.
Point-and-click adventure,
well,
please.
Anytime, if you'd like to.
Getting tired of playing Day of the Tentacle.
This one Kickstarter a while back from Professor Shy Guy, his Rated Heart album. This is actually one of his title tracks. I backed him. Before I backed him, though, or after I backed him, rather, he sent me his entire CD, and he said, please play it on experience points. He didn't beg me or anything. I actually asked him, but this is Keywords and Dubstep. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points on KSLU 90.9 FM. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG, and Red Bear's actually on his Nexus 7. During the song, he went into the other room, and he got his Nexus 7, and he's doing research. Are you doing? Did you find anything, Red Bear?
Well, I found that Steve Ballmer has announced he's stepping down from Microsoft.
Steve Ballmer, the bald guy, right?
I love this company!
Oh, yeah, he was that guy. You know, I saw...
He started it with
Gates. Yeah, yeah. I saw a YouTube video. I think it was on Facebook or something. It was a YouTube video of him trying to sell Windows 1.0. I'll have to we'll find it.
Pull that one
up. We'll find it. We'll play it either after the break or next time. We'll have to, you know, get it a little snippet. It was ridiculous. It was talking about how you get calendar and clock and paint and Microsoft Write or Windows Write.
We did not steal these from Apple.
No, we didn't steal them at all. Okay, so he's stepping down. That's a pretty big deal because he's the CEO, right?
Yeah, he's the CEO.
For people that don't know.
And a founding employee.
Okay. So he's like Wozniak.
It was Wozniak and Jobs and Ballmer and Bill.
And Bill Gates. Okay, so yeah, the pretty big names. Why? What's the deal?
He hasn't really said from what I saw. Well, I mean, there was practically a $1 billion loss on the RT tablet.
That's the... Okay, so we're not... This isn't a tablet episode, but... Okay, so the RTs are like Windows version of the iPad, sort of.
Right. Well...
They run Windows... They do
kind
Windows.
Of.
That's, kind of?
RT doesn't... It runs a version of Windows made for the ARM processor, so if you play with Windows, the Metro interface, that's all you get.
Get the desktop. Okay, I see what you're saying. So it's the same thing as saying the iPad runs OS X,
except it's
the iPad OS X.
Right. So, and you can't... The apps aren't interchangeable between 8 and RT. And
okay, all right. So like it wasn't... So the almost a billion, you said? Billion?
Almost $1 billion, $900
million. $900 million.
Just lost there. Wow. RT tablets piled up in big building.
We should talk to them. We should see if we can get one. Since they have a ton of them.
Since they're apparently so terrible. We'll
see.
Wow.
So I guess he's shouldering all the blame for that then, maybe.
Well, the stockholders definitely aren't happy about that.
Are you a stockholder?
I am not a stockholder.
Me neither.
I hold no stock.
So that was just something that we were talking about during he went and got his Nexus to go ahead and look it up. But the real point of this section of the show is to talk about something that recently the Humble Bundle, the Humble Origin Bundle specifically, but the Humble Bundle, which is a pay what you want, get all of these games, you beat the average, you get some higher nice games. In this case, Sims 3 Starter Edition, Battlefield 3, I think Red Alert 3, or Command and Conquer Red Alert 3, and Populous, I think those, or Populous or Tropico, I can't remember, one of those games. So if you beat the average, you unlock all of these nicer games, but you also get the other games. So recently, the Origin Bundle from Humble Bundle, it was like Dead Space. Have you played Dead Space 1?
I've played Dead Space 1.
I love me some zombie stomping. Or some, I'm sorry, Necromorph stomping, because zombies have been done to death. You got Mirror's Edge, which was a pretty good game.
I really enjoyed Mirror's
Edge.
They're
making a sequel.
Yeah, I heard.
They're making a sequel. Mirror's Edge, it was a parkour, first-person shooter. Or first person runner.
Parkour.
It made me want to go and run and do parkour, and then I tried
it. I'm actually fat and can't do that.
In real life.
So I play.
In real life, if you don't parkour, we're all fat when it comes to parkouring. Crysis 2 Maximum Edition, which was pretty cool. We'll probably have Crysis review because we'll all play Crysis and we'll figure out.
We should play Crysis on the crappiest computers that can run it.
I mean, those are still supercomputers that can run it. I think
it also came out ahead.
It had Burnout Paradise, the box, and it had Medal of Honor. It was like the Call of Duty that wasn't. Man. And then the big one I think I got it for was Dead Space 3. Because I don't own Dead Space 3 until I bought this thing. It ended yesterday. So if you have not bought it, I'm sorry. You'll have to pay relatively full price.
Well, I'm not sorry, because if you bought it, you'd also have to install Origin.
So that's the point. That's a fantastic segue. I knew he's a good co-host, everyone. You also, I'm sorry, before we get it away, Red Alert, Command & Conquer, I'm sorry, Command & Conquer, Red Alert, Battlefield 3, Populous, and The Sims 3 Starter Edition were also included if you paid more than, like, $5. So, or at least $5. And it was all for charity. Humble Bundle's really good. So Humble Bundle and Origin and EA, they're not connected. They were just connected for this one little bit.
Yes, I fully support Humble Bundle.
So Humble Bundle is awesome. They do Children's Play, Child's Play, they do the American Cancer Society, the Red Cross, Games Aid, WotC. I'm totally not reading this off the website. I memorized all of this.
Sure.
So that was that. But the big distribution that started it all, digital distribution, was Steam.
Thank you, Gabe.
Back in the day. It was like, what, like 2004?
It was 2004 or 5, because I was in high school,
and
Half-Life 2 was the big thing.
And it was a... I know, I didn't have internet. I did not have internet to activate.
I did, because I was one of those kids.
I brought my computer to a friend's house that had internet to activate my Half-Life 2.
And then decrypt it because of the hacker guy.
Right. So
I think that's why people were really ticked off about it at first.
People were angry, but
Steam... 3 hours to play the darn thing.
Well, it was a big deal back in the day. It was a huge deal to verify. Not only did you have CD keys, but your CD key had to match with something on the, you know, on the CD. It had to be valid and verified and all that. But it didn't necessarily need to talk to a server. We weren't that far yet, right?
Well, the biggest issue with the Steam launch was they encrypted everything. You could pre-download it, but if you tried to look at the code or anything, you just get garbly gook. And the reason they did that is, I forgot who he was, some guy hacked it, got the game, and started trying to distribute it over the internet. So Valve shut all that down and encrypted it. So at midnight on day of release, you got to sit there and decrypt code for 2 hours, and little Happy Chase Red Bear was wanting to play Half-Life 2.
You just wanted some Half-Life 2.
That's all I wanted.
Well, I can't blame you. Half-Life 2 is probably like one of the best games ever.
Definitely up there. But since then, I don't think they really do the encryption thing much anymore, because everyone's actually kind of happy with Steam and doesn't want to steal
their
stuff.
Steam's really like taken... It went from taking the back seat to the, oh my God, how do we live without Steam? I don't know about you, but I've repurchased games.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't play a game if it's not on Steam.
Oh, okay. So you'll never play Dead Space 3.
Oh, no. Or Mass Effect 3, which I hear the ending on that. I'm glad, because I'm happy with the
We'll do a bad endings episode one time.
Bad endings? Does that mean... I don't want to play.
That means the...
I'm happy with Mass Effect. Leave it at 2.
That means that we'll include Mass Effect, and we'll include Deus Ex. Human Revolution. We might talk about that later, in fact. But so Steam is a digital rights management platform. It's a distribution platform. Describe DRM in a few words.
DRM, people making sure you own the property.
So
that you're trying to.
So
access.
I go and I buy a game. And what is DRM to me that I bought a game? What is that?
Well, if it's working properly, DRM, you won't really notice much is happening, except you logged into their application. In this case, it would be Steam. And you got your list of games that you've purchased. And they know that on their end. It authenticates against their server.
So the integral part is your login.
Right.
So you are an entity at this point.
Right. Well, you make up your identity, your screen name, your password, and you purchase things based off of that. And so they check that, make sure you own it, and you're that guy, and you're good to go from there.
It seems fantastic. Why doesn't everyone make one?
Well, they've tried.
They have. No.
I said it has to work well.
So what is your least favorite DRM?
Origin.
Origin, really?
We're going with Origin.
Wow. Yeah, I would be sure to peg you for a Games for Windows Live type of guy.
I forgot that one existed.
Oh, wow, you see?
We'll go Games for Windows Live.
Your GFL or GFWL?
Okay, so Steam is great, does DRM wonderfully. Apparently some guys at Microsoft don't think that's good enough, so they have Windows Live or Windows Games for,
Games for Windows Live. It's hard to say.
It's hard to use. It's hard to say.
You don't have to use it anymore. They've, like, canceled that for
finally play Batman Arkham City.
No, if you buy any games, so the way it works is if you have games and you've purchased DR or DLC through Games for Windows Live, Well, in my case, I purchased Fallout 3 DLC. Like, what's it called? I actually bought the disc for Operation Anchorage and that other one, the Mothership Zeta, maybe?
Mothership Zeta, that's
I think those were the two.
Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought those two. Or maybe that was New Vegas. I don't know. I bought two, the first two, in the Pit. That's what it was. Operation Anchorage and the Pit. And then the other two, so whatever the other two are, the one that gives you the robot at the end, the Liberty Prime, it's the one that expanded the game, like Broken Steel. Brotherhood of Steel or Broken Steel or whatever, and then the other one, like the one where the bot that you dare go down to buy you. Those were all purchased through games for Windows Live. I guess the expansions really aren't necessary, but those were purchased through GFWL.
That's an acronym.
I bought Gifla. I bought those through GFWL, and I've already purchased Fallout 3 through Steam.
So you still have to log in. Even though it's not even a thing anymore.
Right. Yeah, I have to log in if I want to save.
Oh, God.
I have to log in if I want to play and retain anything, and I have to log into that and get my DLC. On top of that, it doesn't show the DLC as actually existing until I log in to the Games for Windows Live, and because I did that, I can't download and buy the Steam's version of the DLC.
Wow.
So it's completely different.
Microsoft can't do DRM, is what we're saying.
I rebought the Game of the Year edition because it had all the DLC included. And, like, I own Fallout 3 twice.
Nice.
It is ridiculous.
I own so many games twice, but that's a whole other story.
Anyway, so Steam's awesome for that.
I'll go with the Windows thing real quick. Any of the Batman games are out. Batman Arkham City, Batman Arkham Asylum. Both wonderful, awesome games.
Right.
But I spend an hour trying to log in as soon as I install it because, A, to start with, the Microsoft DRM doesn't work right and always needs to update, which requires restarting the game like 5 times.
Right.
Trying to remember my login that I haven't used in 3 years.
Because nothing really worth calling a game, even though I like the Batman games.
Oh, I love the Batman games.
Even
They're great.
Though I love them, I really wish they wouldn't use games from Windows Live, and from what I've heard, things will stop using it. It's going to move to, because they branched out, they tried to tie in Xbox, and they tried to tie in all of their GIFWL stuff.
GIFWL. Microsoft is bad at acronyms.
They're bad at tying things in. A console should be a console.
That's what they're trying to do with their interface on every device now.
But GIFWL is not the worst.
GIFWL.
It's not the only bad one. Ubisoft, whatever, however they say it, they have Uplay. So if you ever want to play Assassin's Creed 3, you have to load Uplay.
Nope.
Or Assassin's Creed, I don't know if it's Revelations or 2 or whatever, Uplay. It's their gaming service. There's the Origin, as you previously said, it was your worst.
I can't even get the darn thing to work.
Origin is actually the Humble Bundle or Humble Origin Bundle. All of these games have an Origin key minimum. Some of them had a Steam. Dead Space 1, Burnout, Crysis 2, Mirror's Edge, Medal of Honor, Command & Conquer, Red Alert, they all had Steam keys. But those were all already on Steam. It's before Origin had any traction. Origin came out, Origin is EA. Whenever we say Origin, we're talking about EA.
Right, right.
EA is a monster.
And, you know, they just wanted to make their own little DRM thing. I guess I'm just.
I mean, no,
I may
no,
not
I mean,
be the
I
only
mean,
person not playing.
No, I mean DRM or digital distribution caught on. Not
right,
Origin,
right.
But
I'm saying Valve did it right with Steam.
Right.
And then, so as soon as EA started doing this, they're like, well, we're not distributing anything on Steam ever again.
Yeah, they pulled off of it, and that's fine. I'm okay with that to a point, except that there are some games that I've already started playing. Like, I've already started, I already started playing Mass Effect.
Right, right.
And on Steam. I didn't want to install Origin and Steam to get all the games that I want to play. But now I do. Now that's how it works. I have Mass Effect 3 installed through Origin. I have Sims 3 installed through Origin. I have, you know, I think I have Dead Space 2 somehow. It detected I have Steam, and it detected that I already bought
it, really?
And it added it to Origin because it wants me to use it. So, I mean, it doesn't not work for me, except recently. I know with Humble Origin Bundle, the Sims 3, the keys that were, not the Florida keys, the actual serial keys for the Sims, they gave out like 16-digit keys. They required 20-digit keys. So the pool, the key pool, was all messed up, and Origin was down. Origin was down for like a week, it seemed. Definitely like 4 days. It was down for 4 days. They didn't let anyone log into it to play Sims. It was really messed up. But
Sims.
And we didn't even talk about the worst, in my opinion. I hate it. I hate it so bad because it's someone who has no earthly right or business making a digital distribution. GameStop. Have you seen GameStop?
GameStop's still around. It's a thing.
GameStop is still around.
Steam has
people
not killed
it yet. People still go and buy games because, you know,
like
the PlayStation 2 is still sort of popular. I still have one.
Well, I have a PlayStation. Was it PSX, the original one, the big gray?
Oh yeah, it was PS1. The PSX.
No, I thought PS1 was the smaller one. The remake.
The PS. The first PlayStation. The PSX was the digital, or that was the. That was like the developer version.
Oh, I gotcha. So I have the like original big break and kill people with PlayStation.
Yeah, that's just PlayStation 1.
Yeah, it has a disc or two.
But yeah, so GameStop has a digital distribution version of all of that, and it supports DLC. I think I got Assassin's Creed 3 as a present from GameStop, and they were like, "Well, here you go. You can
never play
from
this
from someone." Yeah, from
apparently.
Someone from someone that didn't know. You know much about it. My girlfriend, she bought it. It was awesome. I played it, and you know what?
So you worked through the digital rights media then?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have not done anything with GameStop.
It wasn't a problem
since I was like in junior
I'll say
high.
That it wasn't yeah, a problem. Wasn't the download was pretty good, and it does allow you to purchase and work with it via. I mean, it's just like Steam. Everyone looks at Steam and they say, "Wow, that works." So
well.
They remake what they're going to do in, you know, I will say this. Uplay did this thing where you accrue points. You do things in game and you get achievements, and they aren't just achievements like pats on the back. They actually give you Uplay points or U points or UP or whatever. And you can spend them on like wallpapers, or it's kind of like the badges, the trading
awesome.
Cards. That's another thing. So tell us about the badges. Tell us about just go crazy
wild
on trading cards.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. To start off, I found out these during the Steam Summer Sale, which is another great reason to love Steam because you can't buy games that
cheap. Every year, I think I spend about $50, and I get like all the games ever.
Yeah, and it's because Gabe already has all my money. But so the badges, you get trading cards apparently. Now when you do different things in games or play games for a certain amount of time.
You don't have to play them. You can have it minimized.
Load it as long as like accruing time.
I had Bastion. I had like four games all going, and they were just minimized.
Yeah,
Magic, Bastion, all that.
Anyway, you'll get these little trading cards from the game, and you can use them to build like different little badges and things, and that's fun. Or you could be like me, and you have 10 of one card for some reason, because I guess Steam hates you.
You play Kerbal Space Program.
I play Kerbal Space Program.
You
that's all I play.
You have 10 Jebediahs.
Yeah, I have like 30 Jebediahs. So then you can go on to the Steam market, where you can actually sell these digital non-existent cards.
You didn't do anything to get these things.
No. You can sell them for actual money is the thing.
How much?
Okay, well, I sold one for $1.
How much is a Pikachu? A foil Pikachu.
Oh, there is foils, by the way.
There are foils. Oh, wow.
And those will catch more money.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I had a foil from Kerbal Space Program. I sold it for $1.50, I believe.
You see what happens,
USD.
Radio Land? I try to make a joke.
No, it's a real thing.
And it's a real thing.
USD.
Oh, wow.
And that's actual money that you can even use towards purchasing games.
The next summer sale.
Yeah, the next summer sale. That's why you do this.
$1.50? That's like three games almost.
Three indie games, anyway.
Yeah.
Indie bundle.
Super Meat Boy 2.
Oh, man.
Super Mega Meat Boy.
Super Mega Meat Boy. That's going to break some controllers right there.
So I think we can agree, like, digital distribution. It's pretty cool. It's not going anywhere.
No.
Because like PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, they're doing it.
Oh yeah, and thank God Xbox finally stepped off of their always connected thing. That was an issue that everyone.
Didn't like that?
I didn't. I mean, well, what happened? You know when I want to play a console? When there's a big storm and it knocks out my internet. And I'm like, man, I guess I need to load up this disc to play a game.
So
because I'm
going
to use my generator to play video games.
Would you be willing?
Out of my fridge.
We're
going
to go ahead and we're going to cut to a song, but we're going to come back and I'd like to quickly argue that point
on
Xbox One and PlayStation 4, specifically what they were canon. We'll explain it when we come back. I'm MG
and I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points, and this is I guess we should tell them what we're playing. This is Boss Wave by Excellent. It's X and an I L E N T. Excellent. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone. 90.9 FM KSLU.
Boss Wave.
Ow!
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
And I'm still Red Bear.
So before the break, we were talking about Steam, DRM, things like that, and then the Xbox One, which is actually like the Xbox 3. Yeah, you're not gonna get one?
Nah, I've already pre-ordered the PS4.
Oh, okay. I'm probably gonna get the PS4 as well. And that's
we're not all rich like MG.
Well, I mean, you pre-ordered it too.
Shut up.
So it's what, $400?
About.
I think thereabouts $400, and then the Xbox One is,
I don't know, I'll just pre-order it and then don't eat for like,
well, I think it's like, I think it's maybe $300 for the PS4 and then $400 for the Xbox One or
couple
something.
Hundred, less than 1,000.
Yeah, like it's in between $1,000.
I like to be poor.
The Xbox One, the big thing about the Xbox One was that it had two things. One, always on, so it always had to be online. And two, the Xbox had this DRM that restricted gamers from selling their games. They couldn't just lend their games, rather, to other people. They had to like put them into a hub, like a garage sale, sort of. And the developers could charge again for the games. So you have a stance on this. I'm gonna let you go ahead and say your piece about the always on. Go.
Okay, so the always on, my problem with it is the only time I ever play a console is when my internet goes out.
So in southern Louisiana.
Every other day, basically.
Every other day.
You know, tree's going to fall on my power lines, and I will take my generator, hook it into my console, because I don't need to eat. I just need to play video games. And I'll put a disc in it, like Halo, Reach, and I will game out on that until my internet's back.
Okay, so you've got a pretty good, nice, you got, this is your disaster plan, your action plan.
I have a disaster plan. It doesn't involve leaving the state, by the way. It just involves a generator and an Xbox.
Well, that's a hurricane party.
Pretty much.
You play a game.
Get some Captain in there, we're great.
There you go. So that's one thing.
Golden.
We're going to go ahead and, that's reasonable. You don't want, so before, when it was always on.
Well, that would be the problem. I would go to play my Xbox and I couldn't because no internet.
But the idea of always on connectivity, what was that? They wanted you to have it always connected so that what? They can authenticate? They could verify that you were an Xbox One?
It turned out that it's your Xbox One to start with.
Okay.
It's your game. And they authenticated once every 24 hours, which I guess is okay to some people. But again, southern Louisiana, I'm going to lose internet or power for 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, so this would be good for people that have internet all the time. It would not be good for, say, like people on like in a foreign country with bad internet, or with people in southern Louisiana. Or
if you live on Google's campus, it's probably okay.
Okay, yeah.
That's probably about the only place in the world.
They have fiber there, right?
I'm pretty sure they have fiber like every 5 feet. There's a new fiber line
directly into your head.
Yeah. I mean, the internet is all at Google.
But that changed. They Xbox One pulled that back. Microsoft said
they rescinded.
They broke.
Because I yelled at them very loudly. And Ballmer's like, calm down.
The internet yelled at them very loudly. It was bad. And so now it will not require an internet connection.
It will not.
Except for one time internet connection during setup and for game authentication, correct?
Right, that's my understanding.
And so that's the always on bit.
And then there's the other bit about the camera.
My problem with the camera.
The camera, the Kinect.
It's not required anymore, but it's going to be connected.
I mean, with all the NSA stuff floating around, you have this always connected device that they already said they could turn on the camera and watch you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean,
they were sending on that too.
I'm a boring person. So.
Well, they just see my cat half the time, probably patting at the camera.
So the Kinect is it's the Kinect 2 or the Kinect
New Kinect.
New Kinect. It's like new Coke.
Kinect 1.
It's up. Why not? So it's going to be included. It's not going to be required.
Right. You can unplug it. You don't have to do it.
Okay.
Previously, you had to do it.
But they're going to have it with it.
Because they wanted to share with the NSA.
If you want to play Kinect Adventures 2, you can play it.
Yeah, well, you would require a Kinect then.
Right.
It doesn't work
to Adventure.
No magic and voodoo here. You have to connect it.
You connect your Kinect.
Why it's called a Kinect.
So, but it's included. That's why it's going to be like $300 or $400, however much it is. It's like $100 more than PS3.
Right.
PS3
extra hardware,
or the PS4.
Blah.
Yeah. So, but the second point was that they've got the DRM. The DRM was originally, it stated that they were going to have it so that you can buy physical or digital media. So real games, digital games, doesn't matter. They're going to be tied to your account. You're going to activate them with a key or with something, put it in there, and it's going to know like this game disc or this digital disc has been activated by you.
And you can't lend it to Johnny down the street.
Red Bear. And right, because of that, you cannot lend it. You can't physically lend it, but I believe you can share the game. They were going to say you could share
so
the game.
So what would that do? Would that de-authenticate it on you?
Okay, so per the letters,
all this has been canceled.
Right, it's all been canceled, but it was going to be limited to like a family. So like a 10-person share
limit, wow.
Right, so it's like a VIP.
So it's for that one guy who doesn't have friends again, who's still
top,
playing
top
his
eight
Atari.
Spaces on MySpace. It's like,
oh God.
Everyone remembers MySpace now.
Yeah.
Throwback.
I had people fight for my top eight spaces.
There you go. We should have queued that up.
We should
have. But it also has this digital game market where you could sell and resell games digitally. So you will no longer own the game, but you will give it back to the community, and you will sell it. And
so it would effectively kill GameStop. You're now GameStop.
It would effectively kill any used game type of thing.
Done.
But the publishers could make money on the resold games. Currently,
the publishers or the developers?
Publishers, because the developers...
So the indie guys are just done?
I think the developers get money from the publishers. I think it's like a royalty thing.
Well, I mean, what about the indie guys? That's how PS4's a big push right now.
We're not talking about PS4.
You're talking about PS4. I'm talking about indie guys.
I'm saying that for the Xbox One, the publishers will get money by... would have if it would be this way. Again, none of this is real anymore.
So EA still gets all the money?
Yes. But
loving this idea, Matt.
So here's my thing. That everyone freaked out. Everyone had a conniption because
I called up Steve Ballmer directly. I'm like, look, dude.
He stepped down.
He did. He's like, I'm done. Red Bear called me. I'm out.
Everyone had a conniption because they didn't want more DRM. But if you look at what Steam does, Steam doesn't even allow you to sell your games. You buy them and you bought them.
You bought it for a dollar.
Well,
because you bought it during the summer sale.
Who's to say that you couldn't do the same thing? With the Xbox One.
Now, actually, I'd have to look into it, because with the marketplace, I'm not sure what all you can sell.
Well,
I don't think you could sell games.
You can't sell games.
You can only sell the little hats. You can sell
right,
the hats.
Right, right, right. You can things you make, but the games, once you buy them, you own them forever.
Okay. Well, I've never wanted to get rid of them, so.
Right. So that's essentially what was being built into. That was the vision for the Xbox One. I don't understand why people had a problem with this. You couldn't take your games and go and give them back. That is fine. You don't do that on Steam, and Steam's wildly successful. So successful that three or four other companies have decided to copy the whole platform. So
yeah, it's still a whole different... It's a different platform. Exactly.
It is.
My PC and my console are two completely separate things.
But why are they?
Because my console sucks.
Your console... Okay, your console will always be antiquated, because you can always upgrade
my
your...
My PC, right.
Okay, fair
and,
enough.
I mean... And like I said, I play a lot of multiplayer games on the PC.
Are you worried that when you upgrade your PC, you know, as long as you go with another operating system, you know, that's comparable or compatible, you'll be able to play those games?
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
are you worried because like PS3 and PS4, none of those games are backwards compatible. Or Xbox One, Xbox 360, the games aren't really compatible.
That's okay with me. A lot of people are upset about that. That's okay, because you are innovating and you're trying to build something new, which means to make it backwards compatible, you're going to have to make sacrifices.
Right.
Or add in a whole extra hardware. And that runs the price up through the roof.
Yeah.
And no one wants to pay $1,000 for a console.
No, but they'll pay that for a computer.
Well, yeah.
Because you're buying into like a club. You're buying into like a foundation. You're our
PC gaming superior race.
Superior master race.
Yeah, the superior master race.
It's glorious. For one, I love the fact that the developers, or that the publishers at least, were going to make more money on resold games. Because right now, you buy a game for $60, they never see any more money off of that.
Yeah,
unless it's subscription.
Because MG just wants to give EA more money.
No. Hold on. I think that if, again, this is like ideal world, so I know this wasn't going to happen, but if the publishers could make money on used games, maybe they would sell the new game for cheaper. They would make more money over time.
That's how businesses work.
I know.
You give them money, they want more money.
Well, we are out of time.
Give money to the developers.
Donate. Honestly, everyone should donate to their favorite developer. Yeah. We're out of money.
We're out of money and time.
We don't work for money.
Oh, no, but I'm out of it because I gave it all to Gabe.
I would get paid in Nexus Steam. 7s, honestly.
Well, don't stop looking at me.
We're out of time. This is Red Bear's first experience point, so congratulations to Red Bear. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We're going to end on Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton. This has been Experience Points on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. Come back next Wednesday and we'll do this all again. MG.
Red Bear.
Experience Points. Deal with it.
Boom.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey.